and yours, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. For God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. I don't know about you, but I'm just so grateful to be in this place on today. For God has been so good to us. He's been better to us than we have been to ourselves. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you just thank him this morning? Hallelujah. So without any further ado, we're going to just turn it right on over to Sister Dominique to go into our praise and worship. Sister Dominique, it's on you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's such a blessing, an honor, and a privilege to be back with you all to worship and praise a true and a living God. He's an amazing God. He's awesome. He's perfect in all of his ways. Hallelujah. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. If you know that on this morning, he deserves all of our worship, all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. It all belongs to him. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. To you deserve it. belongs to you. Sing it with me. Bless his home. Leave. about something he's done for you, because he has done great things. Bless his holy.
Let's continue to worship as she plays. Hallelujah. Well, you've been so good to you. You've been good to us, and you've been to ourselves. You could have been somewhere else this morning. You could have been in your grave. Amen. But God has been so good to us. Hallelujah. We are just so grateful to him for all blessings flow. For he is good. He's wonderful. He's kind. He's love. He's peace. He's omnipotent. He's all seeing, he's all knowing, for he has brought you out of the muck and the mire and the clay, amen. And we are grateful to him this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, let's raise your hands to him this morning. We got a little time to worship. You didn't come here for form or fashion, amen. But the Bible said where there are two or three there in the midst, there I am. Come on this morning. We come to give him the honor. We come to give him the glory. I don't care what anybody else came to do, but my soul cries out for him on this morning. That I've been through some things on last week. I wasn't sure how things were going to work out. I wasn't sure how this was going to go, but I know at the end of the day that God is still God, that he is still good. Despite what they say, despite what has gone on, nonetheless, I'm still here and I have an opportunity, hallelujah. Come on, somebody, open your mouth to him right now in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Lord, I ask that you march up and you keep your people here on this morning, oh God. Love on them, oh God. Bless them, oh God. Lord, you see they come from near and far, oh God. Lord, you see the weight that's been on their shoulders, Lord. You see the stress that's been on their lives, oh God, Lord. But you said that you come that we might have life and that we might have life more abundantly, oh God. And Lord, I ask that you touch each and every person under the sound of my voice, oh God. Many, Lord Jesus, have come, Lord Jesus, heavy laden, oh God, and burdened, oh God. But you said lay down everything that so easily beset us, oh God. And we lay down those yokes, we lay down those burdens, we lay down those worries, Lord. We cast our cares on you, for you care, oh God, Lord Jesus. For you said the steps of a good man are ordered by you, Lord. And we thank you on this morning, Lord. We thank you for the blessings, oh God, that you've given us. We thank you for the ones that's on the way. We thank you for allowing a way of escape, Lord. We thank you for life, health, and our strength in our bodies, oh God. And all the things that we've been through, the millions of miles that we travel, God, all up and down the dangerous highway, working in the school, working in the job, Lord, just walking around in the mall, oh God. You kept us, you protect us, Lord, because that's not been everybody's story, oh God. But Lord, for us, you've done that, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for food on our tables, oh God. We thank you for clothes on our backs, shoes on our feet, oh God. We thank you for that job, oh God, that the doors that you continually open for you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are my provider, that you're Jehovah BC, oh God, that you reign in victory, Lord, and we honor you on this place on this day. Lord, we give your name the honor and the praise, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for our musician, oh God. We ask that you continue to bless and keep her, oh God. Lord, we thank you for all the members of the Safe House Church, oh God. I ask that you bless each and every one of them. Lord, we thank you for our visitors on this day. Those who might be watching via live stream, Lord, those who are here in the place. Lord, we don't count it, Lord Jesus. We count it a privilege to be in your honor and to be in your place, to stand before your people, Lord, and be able to give your word, Lord. And we thank you on this day, Lord. I ask that you touch each and every one of them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. There be any sickness in their body eradicated right now in the name of Jesus. And we honor you, Lord, and we love on you. And we praise your name, Lord. We give your name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for it's yours and yours alone. And we ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Good morning, Safe House Church. So glad to be with you again, Sister Dominique. We always thank you for you, for God allowing her to use her talent, amen, to bless us. I know some don't know, but Sister Dominique is actually in another place, amen. She's actually in Chicago, amen, and we've worked it out, and technology is just amazing, amen, that we can have a live organ player somewhere halfway across the world, amen. And since, you know, her church starts a little later than our church, she's able to bless us. And we're just so grateful to God, because I remember a time when we didn't have anybody, amen. And many of you were here when we didn't have anybody. Then we had a half of somebody, and now we got a whole somebody, amen, even if she's virtual. And we're just grateful to God. Grateful to see a full house, amen. Brother Alex, can you get a couple more chairs out over here, if you don't mind, or I got them up here, to see so many here with us on this morning, for God is good, amen. I guess, you know, as they say, it's, you know, springtime, now people ready to come back out, amen, and I think, you know, COVID is not gone, don't fool yourself, it's not gone, but I think we are learning to adjust to it, amen, and if you had that bout and you're here with us on today, I'm grateful to know that you survived it, amen. You know, some of us went through it, but we all survived it, if you're under the sound of our voice, and we're grateful. And we're continually surviving it. That and many other things that are continuing to be on the horizon. And we're just so grateful. I want to give honor to my wife, Felicia, amen. Just so grateful to have her here with us and supporting us, and my family, and my mother-in-law, amen. It's just so, I think it's been a while since we've seen this many all at one time, and we're just grateful, grateful, grateful. And I'm glad we pushed through
on this morning. I want to also let you know, next time we all come together will be Easter Sunday. So that is March 31st, if my memory serves me correctly. We'll be back here on Easter Sunday celebrating. I guess they don't call it Easter Sunday anymore now they've gotten more politically correct. Resurrection Sunday. But nonetheless, we all know what it symbolizes and what has happened. And it's the recognition that the world has recognized that Jesus not only died, but he rose again. Amen. And I think it's always interesting. People say what they want to say, but the whole world recognizes his birth. They recognize his death. Even if they say they don't, they take that Sunday off to celebrate. And we're just so grateful to know that he lives and he lives inside of us continually. Again, I want to say welcome to our guests. One is not a guest, just hadn't seen him in a while, but we're grateful to see him and know God is continually keeping him. We're definitely keeping his prayers. Mom, definitely keep him up before God and him and his brother. And we're just grateful to see Brother Chad back with us on this morning. And his friend with us. We're so grateful to have you here. Our doors are always open to you at any time. Amen. And also glad to see our friend, Sister Carolyn, amen, and her family, and her daughter and her mother, amen. Mom is still here with us, amen, pushing on his sister. And I believe that's, is that the daughter behind you there too? I hadn't seen her in a while either. She got her face covered. I can't see her. But it's so grateful to have all of you all, obviously the Jordans and Sister Hicks, all with us. And just grateful to be here on this morning. I was looking for Sister, what's her name? Sherelle, amen. She was going to ask me to share a testimony, and I was going to let her do it, but I don't see she's not on here, so I'm not going to just put her on the spot like that, even though I may have just done that, amen. But she wanted to share a testimony, and I thought it would be appropriate to share that testimony, amen. But nonetheless, we'll go forward. I'm not going to be before you long on today, but we have been in this series called More Than Sunday Ties. And the Ties has been a acronym, and that acronym stands for the T. I'm drawing a blank. I know what I stand for. It's inspiration and inspiring. That's what we're going to continue to talk about today. And I was telling you there was 13 steps to that, and we went over the first four. And with that first four, we will continue on today to the next set of that. Also, I think we have any birthdays. I know we got some coming, but I don't know if I have any birthdays that I missed. Anybody come? I know Prophetess Jordan's birthday is soon. I think that's next week, right? Next time around. Anybody else? Did I miss any birthdays or any other celebrations? All right. Hallelujah. So with that, we'll just keep on trekking on forward here. Let me get my notes up here, and we will continue. I'm just grateful. Thank you all for your prayers. I've been in the road. We're going back and forth to Alabama. I've been down to Montgomery, and then in between there, I had this little thing called a colonoscopy. Amen. It wasn't that bad. I made it. Amen. I'll tell you, they got some drugs. Those drugs are powerful. And literally, I didn't even know I was gone. And I didn't realize I came back, amen. So I know that some of you have been through those things as you get older, amen. But I'm glad to say that we went through them. And it was always not scary, but you know, different when you're away from home and you're having to work and rely on other people that you're not used to. But God always has a ram in the bush, as they would say. And God had blessed me with some people there that was there to support me and take me and watch and make sure nothing went wrong, amen. And I'm grateful for that, because this day and time, there's so many people that have something out, and they want something for nothing, and you never know what the angle is going to be. But I'm just grateful that God sent someone to actually help us and to help us go forward in that, amen. All right, so on today, I want to go forward. I don't think there's nothing else I need to say or in a way of announcements. I want to move right into what I believe God has given us to continually talk with you about as we've been in this series called More Than Sunday Ties. And in More Than Sunday Ties, we've been on has been inspirational. Last week, we talked about what inspiration actually was. Inspiration is not just, you know, the typical thing that we were thinking. Inspiration means actually to breathe in. So when you actually inspire somebody or somebody to inspire, you actually breathe in. And I never quite thought about it like that before. So if you go look up the book definition, It actually means that you take in. So what we find is that we are inspired all the time. There are so many different things that we take in, both good things and both bad things. I saw a video this morning that God was talking about people of influence. And when you look at influence, it's in flu. That flu is what you actually catch it. It's not something that you go get, you catch it. So when you're around people who have influence, you typically catch whatever it is they have. That means if it's bad or good. So if you hang out with people who are drunks long enough, in time, you will catch it because of their influence. And this is why the Bible gives us what influence, that we influence the other ones around us. So, you know, the old saying always goes, birds of a feather flock together. And that is indeed true, amen. And what we find as we continue to go, that we was talking about last week, the difference between them and us is that we have the Holy Ghost inside of us, right? So everything that we take in is all we can take in. We take in the same things. We go through the same things that everybody else go through. But here's the difference. How we react to them is different. We talked about on last week that it's not what the Bible says, not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of him, right? So what we find is that our Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us, acts as a spiritual filter. So the things, I take in all the same trouble, I take in all the same junk that you take in, but I don't react the same way you do because what, it's filtered through me before it comes out of me. So this is how you know what's inside of somebody, because if it's not inside of them, they have no choice but to filter back out whatever it is that they've been given. If you think about it, our bodies often do this, where we take in all this air that we breathe is not just full with air, but it's full with also nitrogen and helium and all kinds of other stuff that is mixed in. But what happens is your lungs, when you inspire you take in that air. And when you take in the air, your body does something. It exchanges that for carbon monoxide, and it releases carbon monoxide out into the atmosphere. It takes in what it needs, and then what, it exchanges it and removes the rest of it from you as waste. So what we find here is that our spirit is important, that you and I, that we have the Holy Ghost. Because what happens is those who are around us that we want to have influence in are not getting clean stuff. They're always getting bad stuff. So how do they get something good? They get it from being around you. Because as you take in the same garbage that they take in, it is filtered through you. And when it comes out of you, it's pure. Now, we know the Holy Ghost, the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost, but what? It's a burning inside. If you know anything about purification, most of the time when you see some kind of purification, there has to be some kind of consumption. That means there's something that's being burned. And when something is being burned, what, it's being consumed, it's being metamorphed, it's being changed, and it's changing its complete compound. So now that what, it's no longer any good. This is why the Bible even talks about at the end times that what, he would not take the water to cleanse us anymore, but it will be fire the next time. Why? The fire destroys completely. I don't know about you, but if you ever walked by something that actually had a fire, and when you go from behind a fire, it destroys completely. But one of the things that it does do is it destroys completely and it removes things, that it also leaves a seedling behind. And oftentimes you'll see in the countryside that you'll go through and you'll see it look like they burned the bottom of the grass and all that. What they're doing is trying to cleanse all the old debris so that new growth can come up. So after a fire, there is new growth. So these were the things that we were talking about on last weekend. We was going into and we was talking about what goes in to you does not define you, but it was what comes out and how we react to things, because you and I go through all kinds of stuff. But on this week, we want to continue on that throne, I mean, on that vein, and now we're going over to, I'm going to call this 2.1 of that same thing, as we continue to talk about inspire. So I wanted to get a recap real quick to what we had talked about before. So if you would turn with me, and I'll try to get it up here on the screen, if you bear with me. Should be there. No, it's not switching. What is going on here with that? It's switched over here. If you would bear with me and we would turn to the book of Nehemiah. I want you to go to Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, and we're going to start at verse number 1. Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, verse number 1. Give me one second. What's going on with our thing today? Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, verse number one. When you get it, just say amen. All right, we're going to move on. I don't know what's going on with my switch on that today, but nonetheless, we're going. Nehemiah 4 and 1, and it says, we'll go 1 through 6, and it says this. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brother and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews with you, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish that which are burned? Now Tobiah the Amorite was with by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up on it, he shall even break it down, their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. And give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. So as we continue on here, you find that what we find here on this side of the story here, that we was talking about Sanballat and Tobiah. So here, Nehemiah was there working in the kingdom. How many of you know that God has people in high places? I know many people think we as believers are supposed to be broke, busted, and disgusted, but we're so far from the truth, amen, that God has people in really high places. And what Nehemiah did, he had the ear of his king, and he asked his king, could he go back to his hometown and rebuild the wall? Now, if you know anything about cities and things of that time, that these cities were normally fortified by walls around them. The wall was the first sign of defense for them to be able to be from being overtaken by their enemies. And what has happened is this wall had now started to fall down from all the years of battle and things that had happened to it. There was holes in it, and it was bricks missing, and there was stone missing, and it was falling apart. So he had went to home and asked his king, could he go and fix the wall? So now Nehemiah is back on his way with the other Jews to fix the wall. And as they start to get up and they are starting to fix on the wall, there is an adversary there named Sanballat. And what Sanballat is there is doing, he's ridiculing them from afar. How many of you know when you decide that you want to get your life together, when you decide you want to do something, whether that was you want to lose weight, you want to get out of debt, or you wanted to get healthier, or you wanted just better for your family, there's somebody who stands back and they got their finger pointed and say, see how that's going to work out. Come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Or so they sit back and say, well, you see how long that's going to last? She tried to lose weight the last four times and that didn't last, so we'll just see how long this one's going to last. And you know, and your next business adventure, well, we're going to see how many times he going to try to sell us something this time. And, you know, we have people who sit back and they ridicule because it's easy to sit back and ridicule when you're not doing anything. And now what? Ridicule finds company because he goes back and he gets this other guy named Tobias. And Tobias even goes far and said that their wall and what they're doing is so weak that even if a fox jump on it, it's going to fall down. I don't know about you, but last time I seen a fox, they don't weigh no more about 10 or 15 pounds. So for a wall to fall down with a fox on it, they was in a paper house or a house of cards, amen. So this is in the Bible's time what we would call snapping jokes or making ridicule of them. And for a fox to be able to tear down your wall must mean you didn't have very much. So they're sitting here and they're ridiculing the people of God. And they're going after the people of God, even though they're not doing anything. They're sitting back And they're just sitting here and they watching them, not knowing that what they're doing is God ordained. See, sometimes, brothers and sisters, you gotta know, but you gotta know for yourself that God has called you to do a thing. Because see, some will sit back and they'll say, well, they'll look 2 years and it hadn't happened. They'll look 3 years and it hadn't happened. In 4 years, it wouldn't have happened. But the thing of the matter is, things that last take time. Oh, come on with me. Somebody say, things that last take time. So I look in my backyard right now. My wife and I, we've been in our home for about 5 years now. And when we first bought that home, it was a little bitty tree back there that my wife had fought tooth and nail to keep. You know, when they come in and they build houses, they normally go in there. The first thing they do is they clear cut the land. Then they take all the trees that they can get and they sell them for profit. Then they'll come back in. If you got them builders we had, they come in there and they take up all the topsoil. So now you ain't got any dirt either, amen. They leave you the bare essentials there. But there was one little tree that was in the back of our yard. And that one little tree, we didn't have any trees. They removed all the trees from the property. But there was one tree that my wife wanted to keep. And she went back there. She tied a little ribbon around that tree. So I hope that somebody can see that. Somebody tied a ribbon. That ribbon just didn't get there by itself. It's kind of like that thing that old saying they say in the country, that if you see a turtle that's on top of a fence post, know that he did not get there by himself, that somebody placed him there. Amen. So this yellow ribbon that was on this small tree was a bright yellow, bright ribbon, big ribbon, so that way it would be very clear to whoever was there with that something was special about this tree. Well, what's special about this tree is that now this tree, which probably just started as a fallen acorn that just happened to fall in the ground, it's happened to sprout. Because one of the things you must realize and understand, brothers and sisters, is that all the seeds that we plant, not all of them come up. The Bible says some of them will fall on stony ground, some of them will fall on hard ground, but some of them will fall on good ground. So please know that the thing that you're doing is a matter of timing, and the timing of it is very important. Every person in here is born at least one time. Amen, because you are here. You know how many people that did not get here and you got here? If you go and look at it mathematically, you shouldn't even exist, even to the point that you've gotten that most people don't even live to even be the age that you are now. Go look around. I look this weekend, we buried another one of my classmates. Five girls in my class have now died from breast cancer, amen, at 45 and 46 years old. So I'm telling you that it is not only just another, but it's God's grace and his mercy that's upon your life. So if you are here, there is something that is here for you to do. There's something for you to give to somebody. It's something for somebody to be inspired by your life. Because what you don't understand is that somebody's watching you from afar. They got the same situation or sometimes worse. And they looking at you that if you give up and you quit, then why should they even go? Because they feel like that you look that you might have a little bit more than them, even though you may not. But it's their perception of you, because some people's perception is their reality. So here we go back to this tree. So now this tree is now gotten, is beating the odds that now it's starting to grow up. And now it's about to be devastated by a human reckoning. And it was saved by my wife because she put that ribbon on that tree. The reason I'm talking about this tree, because what you find is that this tree is an oak tree. And I was looking at that tree this morning. That tree has been there 5 years now. And that tree is no much bigger than this microphone right here. But what I do understand is that if that tree is there, though, that root system in that tree will go down real deep. That root system, I can't go over there and just push it over anymore like I could a couple years ago. That tree, as it continues to build and it continues to grow, even right now, it's March and it still has brown leaves on it. That all the leaves didn't come off of it. So one would think just by looking at the tree that the tree may be dead. I'm here to tell you today that some people, just by looking at you, they think that you're done. They think that you're finished. They think that there's nothing else to you. Why? Because they don't see you in your dormancy. Amen. They don't know that what your season is coming back around again. Because see, the thing is about a tree, that trees have what? They have seasons. They have seasons when they give fruit. They have seasons when they multiply. They have seasons when they give off their leaves. And what we see is that not a dead tree, but a tree that's not in its season. So I'm here to tell you today that hold on, because you have not gotten to your season yet. Don't give up. See, some of you feel that you're about to give in and throw in the towel, but it's a life of consistency. So that tree is consistently going to grow. You know what? And more likely, if the world goes on, that tree is going to outlive me. That tree will be here another probably almost 200 years. Why? Because it's consistently growing, even though it looks dormant, even though it looks like it's not going anything. And even at this point in time, this tree doesn't even give acorns. So many would ask, why would the tree be any good? But at some point, that tree could be
anything that you imagine it to be, you can go over there, you can build on it, you can change it, you can make it a shade tree at some point. That at some point in its time and season, it will give off acorns so that what? It can reproduce and make another of its kind. So your job and our job is simply to do this. The Bible told us what? That we are to be fishers of men, amen. And what we understand today is that we work in a marketplace ministry. And a marketplace ministry means that what? I simply just act out who I am. That I go for. People are watching you whether you know it or not. Amen. They are watching you more closer than you think. The one that you thought wasn't watching you is the very one that's watching you. So what we find here as these builders are going here, that they're building the wall, that Sam Ballard and Tobias are watching them from afar. And what they're starting to do now is because they see that they're starting to accomplish some things, that what are they doing? They're now plotting against them. Mm-hmm. They're starting to put out plots against them. They start to put out the first thing. So the first thing they put out, they just talk about some stuff. And they see, like, words, them words going to get them to slow down. Can I talk them out of their game? Can I talk them out of what they want to do? Why? Because I'm a dream killer. How many of you know you got to be careful of dream killers? Yeah. Amen. I know some people are coming and say they mean well, and it comes across as they're meaning well. They come across as, let me give you a reality check, but at the same time, what they're doing is they're stabbing your dreams. So you got to be careful about the dream killers around you. I remember the story of Joseph, who was walked around, and he was a dreamer, amen. The Bible talks about all the things that he went through, but at the end of the day, that dream came to pass, amen. So one of the first things you want to be careful about is dream killer, because what they're doing here is that what they're setting themselves up to go in and take out. But one thing the Bible talks about here is that what? That they all came together. See, when we come together, we are mighty. When we come together, we are strong. See, when you're out there by yourself, then it's kind of easy for you to get got. Because we're watching the other day, and I was seeing on the internet that these animals were running around in the wild, and there were some cheetahs off in the Sahara, right there on the side, up there in the safari, some cheetahs off to the side. And here come those wildebeest, amen. And if you ever notice the wildebeest, they run in what they call herds, because there's power in numbers. That the cheetah can get one gazelle, or the cheetah can get one wildebeest, or it can get one by itself, but he cannot get them when they all together. When they all running together, even the sick and the feeble can be protected. And as I was watching the video, that we noticed all the wildebeest were running by. But then here at the end, here come this zebra and the mother zebra and the baby zebra by themselves. And sure enough, what happens? The cheetah comes right out of nowhere and grabs the baby zebra. And this is what happens. So when we get discouraged, when we get depressed, amen, because as believers, we can get depressed, amen. And when we get depressed, what happens is we withdraw. And when we withdraw, now we withdraw from protection, we withdraw from strength, we withdraw from power, because we withdraw because we feel shame. Because I feel like I shouldn't be like this. And it's the devil's job to make you think that, amen, that you withdraw. But I'm here to tell you that when you feel those things come on, when you feel like that, this is the time that you are to draw even closer. Why? Because there's protection in the numbers. That what? When you're feeling weak and when you're feeling weeble, that we need to put you there in the middle so that we can protect you, so that when you go through this, that you're not going to always be like this. We all have seasons like this. Amen. I've had some, and others have some, that they go up and down, amen. I heard Bishop Bonham said like this. He said that life is full of what? Ups and downs. So if you ever look at an EKG, you know, when they took, you know, they put the thing on your heart, what happened is there's a spike, then it goes down. Then there's another spike, and it goes down. So it's a reminder to us that life is full of what? Hills and valleys, amen. That every time I get onto a mountaintop, there's what? A valley that will come. But as long as it's going up and down, it's a sign of life. Oh, come on, somebody. Did y'all catch that? There is a sign of life on the EKG. You don't want what they call a flat line on the EKG, because that means you're no longer here with us. But it's always a sign of life that you're going to get up sometimes, then you're going to go down. And then you're going to get up sometimes, you're going to go down. And I'm reminded that somebody told me like this one time. They said that as you go up and down, what you find is that every time you go into another level. So my next valley is the foot of another mountain. Come on, somebody. That my next valley, as I get to that next peak, now I'm at the foot of another mountain. So I start over on every level. See, many of us think that we're supposed to get in there and we're supposed to start at the top. No, it don't work like that, baby. That you got to start at the valley of each one, and then you work your way to the top of that one. And now you get to another group and you're starting over again. So life is a life of what? Consistent start overs, amen. And once you understand that, then you start to develop a mentality of consistency. And what God is looking most from all of us is, are you consistent? Are you consistent with your prayer life? Are you consistent with your giving? Are you consistent with your meditation? Oh, come on, somebody. See, I know we don't often teach this in the black church about meditation, amen, but the Bible said that you have to pray and meditate. Because what happens is, if we're doing all the praying, we're doing all the talking. And when we're doing the meditation, we're doing all the listening. And what I found over this year, I've really been emphasizing meditation to the church. And I found this year that now, I see why people can meditate for hours, because I find myself sometimes, it's been an hour already. I'm like, where did that hour go? And I'm just going inside my mind, and I'm dealing with things in my mind. And see, the thing is that meditation forces you to deal with you. Uh-huh. See, when you just sitting there and you just dealing with you, and you going in your thoughts and things and come and go, and I find, it seems like every time I think I'm about to get there, it's time to get up. Every time I seem like I'm about to, it's time to get up. But so here, it's a life of this, and I'm telling you that God will speak to you, and he'll drop things in your spirit, and he'll clear things from your spirit that you may carry, and you'll wonder and say, Lord, how did I make it over? Lord, how did I get in this situation? I didn't understand, but Lord, now you're giving me this peace. This peace that surpasses all understanding, that no longer do I worry about that. No longer do I struggle in that. So the first part I want to say before I get all off my notes is, number one, and I don't know where this thing just act up this morning. I don't know where my notes gone to. This thing has changed. But anyway, the first one is simply this. Hallelujah. Produce. I don't know where it went. This thing reset itself or something. Produce. So number five was produce. Let me give you a recap real quick. Let me give you the other ones here. Since now my notes are acting up, I can show you. Number one from last week was prepare. To be inspired, you have to prepare. It just doesn't happen. Number two, you have to pray. Pray. Why? Because you're talking to God, and God is going to give you instruction. Number three, purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? You just don't do things just to be doing things. My wife went back there and tied that ribbon around it because she was very purposeful, because she had a purpose for that tree. Number four from last week, plan. You have to plan it out. The Bible says it like this in Habakkuk, said, write the vision and make it plain. A plan is nothing but what? You writing the vision, you writing it down. Because if you write it down, watch this. Now you can hold somebody, you can hold yourself accountable to it. Because accountability is critical. Because we can do things all day and say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then you forgot what you told yourself you was going to do. So number four is what? Plan. So now the new stuff this week. Number five, produce. Sam Ballant and Tobias are what? Consumers. They're not producers. The difference between the people in this world who are winning and what God wants us to do is that we need to produce. Look on social media. Those who are rich are the producers. Everybody else consuming. Every time you're scrolling, you're consuming. Those who are making the money, producing. Produce anything, everything. God is giving you creativity. This is why the meditation part is so important. You get your creativity during that time period. See, I was reading, y'all know I'm a man of science, and you know, I can't help it. This is what, you know, God has created me to be. And as I was reading it, I was understanding, they were saying that the most creative people are the people who really don't be doing anything. Because creativity requires time. And if you're one of those ones like me, I'm a checklist guy. Every day I got checklists. Boop, 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 boop. And if I get everything on my list, oh, I had a successful day. That's really not true. Because I was so busy, I wasn't creating. So the more time you can carve out to do those kind of things, you create. Think about it. Some of the most creative people you know are some of the laziest people you know. Right? Think about it. Y'all know you're like, man, he's so creative because he got nothing else to do. So the creativity stems from that. So there is a point that you have to be intentional about your creativity. I get case in point. I use my wife for example. My wife is an amazing decorator. And she tells me, you know, here the last month or so, she said, I just cannot get into my space. I know why. Because she's been busy. We had to do this. We had to do that. The weather changed. This happened. Had to be there for the kids. Had to be there. So she's being so busy, her mind does not have time to pull back and what? Create. Creativity comes from who? God. He's the ultimate creator. Right? So where do you get your creativity? It's a download from him. So if you're not spending any time from him, you cannot get anything to create. And if you're not creative, then you're not productive. So Sanballat and Tobias are examples of people being non-productive, being consumers. And what happens is if you continue to consume more than you create, you're going to be in a deficit. So produce. Think about it. Everything in your life, what am I doing to produce? Am I creating or am I consuming? Am I creating or am I consuming? The next part in here, all of these start with P, by the way, which I find is interesting. The next part of this, number six, is participate. You often hear people say you only get out of it what you put in it. This is true. Many of us go to things and we hear great speaking and we go to church and we do this stuff, but we never participate. Because participation means that I'm invested. So participation requires your investment. Participation requires that you be purposeful. Participation means that you are intentional. Think about it. Things that you participate in, you are connected to. If you don't participate, then there's no connection. If there's no connection, there's no download. If there's no download, then there's no creativity. If there's no creativity, there's no what? Produce. Produce, production, produce. Think about it in its truest sense. What is also, we have produce, produce. Produce is what? Vegetables and fruits and stuff, right? But what are they at their central core? All of them are seeds. Name something that's produce that's not a seed. Carrots, celeries, peanuts, apples, oranges, all of them at their root, what are they? They're seeds. produce seeds, produce. Y'all following me? It's a seed. And watch this. And the Bible tells you about eating all of your seed. So that's what he tells you to do what? Save back 10% of that, and you live off the 90. Why? So that you have something to produce the next crop. You can't just live off 100% of what you have. You'll never make it like that. Seed, time, and harvest. And why 10%? Because all of what you put in, all of it ain't going to come up. We already talked about that. Some of that going to fall on bad ground. But you only need how many to come up? One. Out of all you plant, you only need one. Think about it. In your life, all the times you've been told no, how many times you need yes? One. See, we don't think about it in terms of that. So what I understand, that I read a book one time, they were saying, the guy said, rush into my no. Rush into you know, my no, because his whole point was, if I hear him keep asking enough, just by the law of numbers, I'm going to get a yes at some point. See, I sold life insurance on the side for a minute, right? But I did fairly well in it and still doing okay. And one of the things they used to tell us about life insurance is that if you can make as much money as you want to make, and this is true, it's very lucrative. And I did pretty good. But it also depends on how many people you ask. Because for every 10 you ask, you might get one. So you have to prepare yourself to be told no probably 10 times, I mean 9 times in a row. But it's that one yes that makes up for all the no's. And once you understand it, but see, the thing is, we as people, we're not conditioned to that, right? Because none of us want to be told no. How many want to be told no 9 times in a row? We give up. Think about it. All these people, we hear of these people who do well in industry and they do well in education and all this stuff. Think about how many times these people have been told no. Up until this year, personally, I was working on a grant. I applied for a grant 13 times. I got yes on number 14. Ask me if I care about that right now. Got $1.8 million. I don't remember none of them, though. Do you see what I'm saying? All those near misses. Even a great baseball player is thought to be good if he hit the ball 3 times out of 10. That don't seem very good. You're in the Hall of Fame if you can do that. Heard them wrong. That's 30%. I'm batting 300, right? 10 times, he ain't got to hit but 3 times, and he considered one of the best. Do you see what I'm saying? So we are conditioned that we think we're supposed to win every single time we step out there. And what we're finding is that it takes us to the point that now we get to a point that we don't even want to participate anymore. Why? Because we feel some kind of way. Because this is what everybody's putting in front of us. And now this comes to the next part here. Because this is why they don't quit the wall. The Bible said what? They were all had a mind to work. Because now they developed a passion for this through participation. So number 7 is passion. Y'all have heard me talk about this before. You got to have a desire to be there. You got to have a desire to go through it. This is why others are inspired by you. Because they saw how many times you lost. They know some of the things you went through. See, some, you know, when they hear your story, they realize, you know what? I didn't know he did this. See, I'm one of those ones, I like reading autobiographies. And, by, you know, that's all I watch. I watch that on TV, and I read them. And occasionally sports. My wife gave me the twerk lips here. So, but what I find is, because I want to realize and understand how much did they go through before they got there. Why? Because it inspires me to say, okay, really what I'm going through is nothing but part of the process. Right? They say even the greatest of greatest, you know, Tiger Woods talked about all these things that he's done and all this that he continued to do, and what he's doing is what they call the, can't remember, the 100,000, I think it was the 100-hour rule, I can't remember. Said that he had to do something 10,000 hour rule. That he had to practice a thing 10,000 hours before he could perfect it. And in this book, I think it's called Outliers, and it was talking about those who were greatest among our society. You find that they all had a consistent thing of getting to about 10,000 hours before they became whatever they became. Now imagine if you prayed for 10,000 hours. Think about that. If you read and you studied for 10,000 hours. I know some people say that's absurd. No, it's really not. When you really think about it, when you look over time, it's about, they say, you're doing the same thing every day for about 2 hours a day for about 10 years, I think is how it came out to be. See, when you look at it like that, that's different, ain't it? But the thing is, it was consistently, though, every single day for 10 years. Same thing. Think about Noah building that ark. Took him about almost 100 years to build it. Can you imagine for 100 years being ridiculed? No wonder he was drinking, right? We know Noah was a drunk too. All the people in the Bible are flawed now. But he got it done. And when that rain came, I guarantee you he was glad. Right? So here we find this, what a thing of consistency. And passion. Joseph was 37 years old, but 17 when that dream came. Look how long that was. David was crowned king as a little boy. Was almost 40 or 50 before he got it. We see examples through this throughout the Bible over and over and over again. And we get frustrated when it don't happen in 2 years for us. Yeah, safe house, we've been open like 6 years now. But I see a lot more people than I saw when we started. Slow but sure, you continue to grow. Because it's a staying power. Last part here, he gave them, number 8, and we'll go through the rest next week, is protect. If you're passionate about it, you're protected. I'm passionate about my children. I protect them with my life, my wife, my family, this church. Protection, that you will fight for it. So if you go on and you read the rest of this story, what you'll find is that when Sanballat and Tobias, they went back and they got all these other people because they saw what they were doing, that they were building this wall and it looked like they was going to accomplish it. What they did is they went back and they got the others and they had threatened to come in there and fight them. And what the Bible says they did then is that they went together, and I encourage you to read the rest of this story, that they went together by day and night. They gathered themselves together, and they had a brick in one hand and a sword in the other. Come on, somebody. They didn't stop working, but they were also mindful. They didn't stop working, but they also were mindful. So these things come to do what? To distract us. And our number one thing for us in this area, day and age, is distraction. It's so easy to get distracted. Most of the time when we have car wrecks and stuff, distraction. Whether it was a cat crawling across the road, or a deer, or your phone rung, or somebody texted you, or you just had a moment, you just weren't thinking about something. Distraction. Distraction gets us all the time. You're trying to read the Bible, what happens? Somebody called. Your best friend ain't called you in 10 years. I guess it's not a best friend, they ain't called you in 10 years, but you get what I'm saying. It'd be somebody you say, oh, they ain't called me. I remember the other day I was trying to do something, and here goes, somebody called me, I'm like, who is this? It always happens. So now we got to understand, like, how do I protect what I'm doing from distraction? Because when you're producing, distraction is going to come. It didn't happen all at one time. But in the middle of that, oh, yeah, the money you were saving for that, yeah, you need it for that now. Distraction. And now what you was investing in to get done never gets done because you got distracted and now you got your money over here. Distractions. So we got to be careful, brothers and sisters, and to remind us today that as we inspire, that when we take in all this stuff. All these things. The Bible says it rains on the just as well as the unjust. That good and bad happens to us all. But how we react to that which has happened to us is going to determine how we are perceived and how others will be able to be blessed through us. We often say, the Lord, use me for that servant. I want to be used. I want to be a willing vessel. And then when God said he's ready to use you, you change your mind. We don't get to pick how we get to be used. That's for him. All I do is make myself a willing vessel and let him do the work and know that what when it's all said and done, that he's got the glory. All he wants out of your life is the glory. I end with this. On this week, like I said, y'all know I travel a lot and I listen to a lot of audio books. And I was listening to this audio book. Some of y'all may know him. This one guy calls himself Country Wayne. Quite entertaining, you know. He doesn't curse or nothing like that, and he goes into detail about his story. And what struck out to me about this, and I know he has his share issues, and he tells you he do. He's like David. He said, I love the ladies. But what he's very clear about is, he talked about one time in an interview that he had the opportunity that he was in his relationship with God, and he was talking about how he's read the Bible like 7 times from cover to cover. And every time he finds himself a thing, he starts reading. And he talks about this, right? And he talks about God throughout the entire book and how God has opened up his doors and changed his life and did these many things. And one of the things he was saying that he got on an interview and the lady asked him something. And he said because he was changing who he was because he think he was at the point that he was about to make it. He was saying everything he thought they wanted him to say. And he said he walked away that day in an amount of regret and just said that he felt like he let God down. And what he did the next time, he ended up, the story goes back around maybe 2 or 3 years later. He comes back to that same radio station to do another interview. And he wasn't even thinking about it. And the first thing that dropped in his mind was he's talking about how he let, you know, how he had let God down previously. And he started to speak on God. And God this and God that. And of course, when you go to those secular radio stations and stuff, they ain't trying to hear that. Especially not in Atlanta. Atlanta's like, y'all know Atlanta. And so he's talking about this and that. And what he finds is that out of all the things he's been through, that he's inspired more people with that because it's uncommon that he had the courage to stand out and tell his story. And he's very clear about it. He's far from perfect. He's still a work in progress like all of us are, if the truth be told. But he's very clear about how him putting God's name and putting God first and being intentional about that, how he's just changed things and opened up doors for him. And I end with this. I was looking at a video the other, about 2 weeks ago. And you know how sometimes you go into an interview, if you're going for a job and people start, you know, you're in an interview and some people have a tendency to name drop in interviews. because this thing sometimes is about sponsorship, and I'm understanding how sponsorship works and this kind of thing. So it's like, oh yeah, such and such, or I know such and such, and I did this work together, we did this. And the guy was talking about in his interview, how in all his interviews, he was in there and he was doing all this name dropping. And he said it never occurred to him to drop the name of Jesus. And he said from that point forward, every interview he did, they asked him, said, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. I've done, like just the past week, I've probably done 8-minute interviews, and that's my first question. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I just give me you an open blanket to say whatever it is you want to say. And almost all, every single time, the people start out with where their degree is, where they're from, and you know, kind of give their story of how they get there. But this one particular guy said, well, he always started his out with, he starts out by saying, I'm not a perfect man, but I'm grateful for Jesus Christ who saved my life and has given me this opportunity at least to start to talk with you. And he says, every single time, it throws the interview off, right? Because people don't know how to come back with that. Because they don't know, do I engage? And I'm telling you, because I'm on the other side of that table most of the time. Do I engage with you that way? Because I'm looking at, now, me putting on my hat as being Dean, I'm looking at you like, well, because me, the spirit side of me, I want to engage. But I'm like, am I going to be in trouble if I say something here? Or do this interview go left or go right? It's always some risk that you're going to take. And I've gotten to the point, to be honest, y'all just pray for Pastor. I don't care. I just talk about whatever. If that's where we're going, that's where we're going. And when it's over, it's over. Amen. But others who don't have that, they go back and forth, and they don't know how to respond to that. So what happens is you stand out in their mind. You just planted a seed, and you didn't even know it. So the whole thing of the story that the man was trying to get across is that we name drop everybody except the main one. We go on these interviews and we name drop everybody but the main one. Because he's the one, and he has access to everybody and everything, and he holds the king's heart in his hand. And the Bible says he can turn it whatever way he may. And I thought about it. I had to pray about it. I said, Lord, when I get in a high-stakes interview, and when I start out like that, I'll tell you right now, in the beginning, no. I really started thinking about it. You know, because it requires another level of faith. Because the world has taught us, this is how you do this. Right? And all these years of training, so then it comes back to that thing, and I'm often in this fight with myself, is to remind myself that Jehovah Jireh is my provider. And that's the tough thing. That's a real tough thing for a man. Because I got to make my own way. Right? That's what we do. I got to make my own way. But even in making my own way, he is the way maker. Now, I don't like feeling like, well, always in the back of my head, you know, as they say, the wolf is always at the door. But he is. But all I notice is that he never catches me. Why is that? And that's the difference between them and us. Is that the wolf catches them every now and then. But he never catches me. Why? Because God said he's my shield. He's my buckler. He hides me under his wings. He has a secret place for me. There's a cave where he allows a spider to build a web. And they say, oh, he certainly can't be in there. This is the kind of God we say, you shipwreck and he allows us one piece of wood. And you throw wood in the fire and the snake jumps out and bites and you fling it off. It didn't even bother you. It kills everybody else. I'm often reminded, and I know you are, some of the things that some of you have been through have killed other people's careers. Killed them, and you still here. Why is that? Because it's not about you. It's who you represent. I promise you, my mouth has got me in more trouble than some jobs. Because sometimes I just have to tell the truth. And sometimes the truth is the truth. But maybe the timing of the truth was not the right time. So you learn wisdom, right? But even in all that, God is protecting me. I look, and I remember sometimes, you know, I was looking, and I share this with you all here with us because it's just us, that I look at sometimes some of the salaries and stuff God has blessed me with. Others haven't even got it even to that point yet. And they were like, how did you get that? I don't know. I said, that's what they gave me. Or I asked for it, and they said, yeah, did you ask? Well, I asked, they ain't get. See, this is what God does for us. As believers, there are things that I own that people think we paid a fortune for. In some cases, people gave it to me. This is what God does for the life of the believer. So it's not about the blessings and stuff, but I am what? Because I'm sitting here being able to tell you today that it ain't me that did this. This is God opening up doors that brought people in our lives or brought us into situations where we paid maybe half off and a quarter of a price for things or the timing of things that we was in the right place at the right time. That was God orchestrated and everything we had that we needed just lined right up. Boom, 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 and it was done. And you know what? And God will use you to do the same. I said I was going to close. I won't be like a Baptist preacher. Last story. Last week, I was interviewing a lady. And I've been looking for an admin for a while for one of my areas. And we just could not get a good fit. And it just so happened, I saw the thing, sent me an email, and said, oh, somebody has an interview. I mean, somebody has applied. And I looked, this lady from way upstate New York. I said, she's going to come to Alabama? That's not for me to discuss it. I call her up, give her an interview. She was a breath of fresh air. I was like, oh, my God. I said, I just hired her right there on the spot. I said, I can make this decision right now. Let's get in. She was like, well, you know, I just applied and I was just thinking, and because my life, you know, right now I'm hitting a reset. You know, I want to move to the South and, you know, I just want to do something different with my life. I just feel that God is giving me, you know, a chance that I just need to, I need to start over. And so I want to come down there and this, and you know, we started to have this conversation, man. And as we started to have this conversation, I find myself in those places more and more. This is why God have us as believers to be in these places, so that we open up doors for his people in other places. I already know. She was talking about her church and this and that. And I was like, well, if you're leaving your, why would you leave your church? See, man, I tell you, my conversation, I had to go. So then we had this conversation, and she was like, well, I just feel I'm at a point I need this restart. So I have a relative who just moved down south, and I'm going to move down there with her. And we're just going to start over. So two prayers got answered. Her prayer got answered. My God, she said, well, this has got to be God. I just applied, and I didn't even know if I was going to even get a job, and I got a job in less than a day. See, God will use you to line things up, too. You see what I'm saying? I could have drugged that out and did this and that, but I'm like, no, I need somebody, because just like they're answering your prayer, you're the prayer answer to somebody else's prayer. I promise you. And that's how it works. And now God's building what? Another level of believers. And that's somebody else who believes. Now, I don't know who might be inspired by her story, but I was grateful to be in place to be able to help it out. Amen. More than likely. I mean, more than anything, I'm grateful to help me out. I'm going to be honest. And this is how you got to look. I'm telling you, you are the answer to somebody else's prayer. Both ways. And that means for you to get a job or something else, or somebody else is looking at you to see if it's going to work out for you because they want to know it's going to work out for them. They're watching. I want to tell you something else, but I said I'm going to be quiet, so I'm going to be done. If you go ahead and stand on your feet, I want to pray for you on today. So remember those four things. And we'll finish the next four next week. Sorry, it's a little warm in here. Y'all know it's been cold. It's been hard to regulate stuff. But remember, this time you'll produce, participate, passion, and protect. Produce, participate, passion, and protect. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful group of people here that are standing before us on today. Lord, I ask that you touch each and every one of them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Love on them, Lord, like only you can. Lord, you see the things that they're dealing with. Lord, you know the things that they struggle with. Lord, you know the things, Lord, that they do well. Lord, I ask that you continue to open up doors for them. Bless each and every one of them, Lord, like only you can. Strengthen them, Lord, like only you can. Provide a way of protection for them, oh God. Continue to provide a way of escape. Continue to provide a way, Lord, of providence for them. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, and I ask that you touch them right now from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Love on them. Bless them, oh God. Fill them, oh God, with the gift of the Holy Ghost, oh God, if they don't have it. Love on them, Lord, like only you can. Strengthen them, Lord, and we thank you for each and every one who's come both near and far. Love on them. Bless them, oh God. Open up doors for them, Lord. You pour out a blessing they don't have room enough to receive. Help them to go forward, oh God, to work on themselves, Lord, to meditate, oh God, to pray, to produce, Lord Jesus, to go forward, Lord, to be passionate and protect and participate with you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for
Watch over keeping them, oh God, taking them down the dangerous highway, Lord Jesus, until they come back again. Lord Jesus, bless those who have it to give, Lord Jesus, those who have, those who don't have not, Lord Jesus.